thank you, Father. The men of valor are preparing to put notes in your hand for today's message, the beginning of miracles in the earth. Last Sunday, we talked to you about miracles, signs, and wonders, and gave you 37 of the what is called miracles of our Lord and Redeemer. And told you that there were actually 41, but they're not always recognized because not everybody knows what is a miracle, what is a sign, what is a wonder. So we'll be talking about those today. Thank you, praise team. Some of you looked and said, wow, only two pages of notes. We'll be out of here in no time. How slowly they learn. Since I shared with you last year, as the year was closing, that in 2016 there would be a resurgence of miracles, signs, and wonders, I have been contacted by ministers from California to Florida saying, in our assembly, God spoke prophetically. In our prayer time, God revealed to us that there was a coming revival of miracles, signs, and wonders. I don't think it's a revival. I think it's a resurgence because I don't think they ever stopped. But I told you last week, by taking the time to sit down and review the miracles of our Lord Jesus Christ, you would begin to learn and get a pattern that God was revealing of His dealing and His desire to deal in the earth. Because miracles, signs, and wonders reveal from three different perspectives God's plan and purpose in the earth. And today we're going to take a look at what was called the first miracle of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if you were here last week, you know the first miracle of His life was not the water to wine, it was His birth. He had a miraculous supernatural birth that was also a sign and a wonder, because in His birth there was both a miracle, a sign, and a wonder. It caused the shepherds to wonder what was going on. It was a sign to the people that a line had been drawn in God's dealing with mankind, and the law was ending and grace was beginning. And it was miraculous in the way it took place. But something that every believer can learn is how that miracle occurred. How did the miracle of the Immaculate Conception of our Lord and Redeemer occur? Some people say they want to automatically jump to, well, the Holy Spirit came upon her. No. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman and He don't come upon you. He presents Himself to you. The first miracle occurred because Mary said, be it unto me according to your word. What was the beginning of miracles in the earth? Someone accepting the word of God and agreeing to cooperate with it. It hasn't changed. If you need physical healing, prosperity, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, deliverance, grace, whatever it is you need, You take a word from God and receive it. Now, I've been pastoring a long time. I wasn't there when dirt was invented, but it hadn't quite cooled when I came on the scene. And I've shared with you time and time again. In fact, God shared with this entire body the way His Word works. In 07, when I was struck down by a severe heart attack and had to have 3 open heart surgeries and quintuple bypass and mitral valve replacement, was in paralysis for months, a coma for 29 days, had lung failure, kidney failure, liver failure, heart failure. I failed everything but the test of trusting God. From that very first day, the Holy Spirit inspired me. And when Brother Richard and Alfonso came to the hospital and said, "How do we tell the people to pray?" I said, "Tell the people I don't want anyone praying for me to be healed. From this day forward, we're going to celebrate the truth of God's Word that with His stripes, Pastor was healed." Now, other churches contacted the staff here and said, "Tell us about your prayer chain." Well, we didn't have a prayer chain. "Well, tell us about your, round-the-clock intercession for Pastor to be raised up." We didn't have a round-the-clock intercession. We prayed to glorify God. We prayed to intone His presence. But we didn't pray, "God heal Pastor." Because if the Word of God is true, accepting what the Word of God says over what your body tells you, over what the doctors and nurses tell you, over what the banker, the lawyer, the politician tell you, is the way to win. Now, in the beginning of God's dispensation of grace, He gave us an example of a woman. Not a great prophet who came and said, "Yea, verily, thou shalt thusest." No. A woman said, "Be it unto me according to your word." "I don't understand it. I can't get my brain around it. It don't make no sense." "Pastor, you're becoming inarticulate." "Yeah, but I'm becoming clearer." She said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." And then she didn't check her womb to see if there was any movement. I find it strange that people can sit in a congregation where faith is taught, Sister Gail, and still measure God's word by their bank account, by their temperature, by their feeling. She didn't say, "Be it unto me according to thy word, and send me a good man to make it work." She said, "Be it unto me according to thy word," and she became impregnated with the Word of God. Her and the Holy Spirit didn't go to Vegas for the weekend. The Word is the seed of your future. If I stopped right there, you have gotten a message. The Word is the seed of your future. I've got to receive that Word when I find it. I've got to allow it to be implanted within my spirit. I didn't say within my mind. It has to be in my spirit so it can overpower my mind. And let that Word change me. Do miracles, signs, and wonders only occur in spiritual settings. You see, there are some people that think a miracle, a sign, a wonder can only occur when the music is just right, the lighting is just right, and people are speaking in tongues and weeping and crying out to God. But I want you to understand, God never intended miracles, signs, and wonders just for the close of the service. I have to put up with the singing, the offering, the sermon, all of that, just to get to the point where I can get my miracle. No, you can get your miracle walking across the parking lot. You can get your miracle on a street corner. I've seen miracles happen on the street. I've seen miracles happen on the roadside. I was called to a wreck once where a car had been broadsided by another car doing 80 miles an hour, T-boned it. The car was thrown across several lanes of traffic and into the far ditch. And I sat there holding the woman's head in my hand and holding her eyeball because it came out of the socket while the paramedics were preparing her for star flight. And they said, her pelvis is crushed, her collarbones are crushed, her ribs are crushed, there's no way she'll make it to the hospital. And I said, she'll live and not die and declare the glory of God. And I saw her walk out of the hospital. And she didn't lose the eye. God don't care if it's a roadside. He's not moved by it. And he didn't say, well, I can't do what you're saying because the paramedics are already here. God works. And all you need is a word from God. Sister Gail and Sister Marie stood guard at the door of a room when we got to the emergency room. They came in and said, call her family because she's got minutes to live. And I said, y'all guard the door. I got to go hear from God. Now, we had a speaker with us that time who was the big name ministry. He was a part of Jimmy Swagger's think tank, and him and Carl Schrader and others ministered together. And he was a big name. And I said to him, what do you hear from God? And he said, I don't hear nothing. And so I said to them, guard the door, I'm going to pray, because if I can get a word from God. And so I went to prayer, and God said, she'll live and not die and declare my glory. I came out and I said, I don't care what the doctors say, I don't care what the nurses say, she'll live and not die and she'll declare the glory of God. You have got to determine your life from Scripture or from God. If I have a word on this. So when he said, your God shall supply all of your need, and you meet the criteria of being a tither and a giver. Because when you read Philippians 4, there is a condition on it. You've got to be a tither and a giver. Then your God will supply all of your need. So I can boldly say, I'm a tither, I'm a giver, and my God will supply all of my need. You can't bring me a need so big that my God won't supply it. And standing on that word, you as a congregation saw God pay off nearly $3 million of my medical bills. Not insurance, not receiving a special offering, not sending out an appeal letter. God. Yes. And because you began to celebrate, with his stripes, pastor was healed. When the doctors came in and said, well, now he's got kidney failure along with congestive heart failure. You didn't change your declaration. You celebrated the truth of God's word. The word you receive as your word will change your world. But it can't be the word plus when I see it, plus when I feel it, plus when things change. It is the word, period, and everything else can go to hell for all I care. It has to fall. Yeah. Pastor, that was cold and unkind. No, you got to understand, anything that's contrary to God's word belongs in hell. And it's not irreligious to say anything contrary to God's word can go to hell. That is religious, because that's where it came from. That's where it belongs. Because if it's contrary to God's word, it's of the devil. Do miracles and signs and wonders only occur in spiritual settings? And so the first miracle of our Lord Jesus Christ was not one he was cooperating with, but it ushered him into the earth's atmosphere. Our Redeemer came to earth because one person said, I receive God's word. And although I've never been with a man, be it unto me. Although I haven't had any prenatal vitamins, be it unto me. Although I don't have an obstetrician on call. No, she just said, your word is that, then I receive that. If it was necessary for a person to receive God's word for God to become incarnate, then Tina, it's still necessary for us to receive a word for God to become involved. So the first miracle of the kingdom of God was his birth. But the first miracle in his life is not a spiritual miracle. John chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. You remember the story, there was a wedding in which the mother of Yeshua played some role. We know she played a role because the servants were subject to her. We know she played a role because when there was a need, she wanted to see that need taken care of. You remember the story, Jesus and his disciples go to the wedding at Cana. And Messiah and his learners, his disciples, his students, some people get confused by the word disciple and think it's some great office they attain to. It simply means a student, a learner. So the teacher and his class are at the wedding. You notice what I put in parentheses? When people are graduating from high school or college, did you notice they always send a card to their rich relative? When people are getting married, they make sure that everybody with a job or a line of finances gets an invitation to their marriage. When Lou and I got married, I invited Tricky Dick to our wedding and LBJ, and we have cards in our wedding album from President Johnson and former President Nixon telling us that they would be unable to attend the wedding but sent their best regards. I figure, you know, if you're going to get married, start at the top and work down on your guest list. But you want people to know when you're trying to line your hope chest. You want people with money. Why was the Lord Jesus and his disciples invited to this wedding? Because he was in the line of a king from his father's side, as people thought, Joseph, and from his mother's side, he was the seed of David. At his birth, he had received a king's ransom. So you want the guy with the big bankroll on your wedding list, because maybe he'll get you something more than a toaster. Wouldn't you invite a king to your wedding if you could? You see, people have believed this garbage that religious idiots have told you. He was a carpenter. He was not a carpenter. He was a carpenter's son. There's not one reference to him ever making a birdcage or a lounger or a dinner table. He was born a king. He was recognized as a king from his birth. He was recognized as a king up to his death. A wedding in those days took 7 days. They would come together for 7 days of eating and drinking. I said 7 days of eating and I don't recommend it. But apparently it was part of the custom to dip and sip. During this wedding, we don't know how many days into it was, but they ran out of wine. A 7-day drink fest, and they was drinking because they ran out. Now, you know, Raymond, how many guests you're inviting. And so if you're inviting 50 people, you don't plan to have 37 hot dogs. And you know, if Uncle Fred can put away a quart, and Aunt Josephine can handle a quart and a half by herself, you're going to have enough booze and grub around to cover everybody for that 7 days. But some of the people put the bag on a little heavy. Now, you've got to stop and ask yourself, is wine a spiritual need that requires a miracle from God? Now, a couple of you just thought, well, I remember a couple of situations. Is wine a vital spiritual element? Does wine present a spiritual image or presence? Well, Pastor, you know it is called spirits. And sometimes at the right moment it can lift your spirits. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
When God introduced his son, who did nothing on his own initiative, but only what he'd seen the father doing, so the father invented wine. I do only what I've seen of my father. I do only what the Spirit is leading. So apparently the father and the Spirit were into this miracle. Pastor, you're, you know, bordering on heresy here. No, I want you to understand something. Every need you get from God doesn't have to have a scripture on it.
Right. Right.
Although this one does have scripture in the Old Testament. When you entertain someone, take them to the inner chamber and give them strong drink. But the miracle working power of our Lord and Redeemer, even though this wasn't a miracle, everybody talks about it like it was. It's even listed among the miracles, but it wasn't a miracle. And I want to differentiate because I want you to see the difference in today's message. We try and qualify everything we want from God. God, if you'll get me a new car, I'll take people to church. Why don't you just tell God you need a new car? Because you want one. Pastor, if you'll get me a bigger house, I'll let people stay with me. You know you're not going to let them stay with you. Just the thought of somebody else around the house runs you up the wall. You don't have to con God and find a spiritual reason for everything. God began to introduce the ministry of his son to the earth where they were in the natural. He wants to meet you in the natural so He can take you to the spiritual. The mother of our Lord Jesus Christ comes to Him and says, "We're out of wine." And He says, "Woman, what's that to me?" Well, Pastor, that doesn't seem like He's very respectful of His mother. He's not very respectful of her to call a preacher to take care of booze. But God is concerned with what you need and desire in your life, not what is listed in the Ten Commandments. And He says, "I have not yet come to the appointed time, the appointed hour of my Father's purpose." This is not what I know the Father has for me first. First, He has to identify me. Second, I have to defeat the God of this world. Then I can step into my ministry. That don't happen until Luke 4, woman. But she has already learned to be dependent upon a word from God. She has seen a word from God change her world. So she says to the servants there, "Whatever He tells you to do, do it." Now, we know in the natural that Jesus was holding a king's ransom. He was well off. He had money. I've had people tell me He didn't have a house, but the Bible tells me plainly He had a house at Canaan. I've been to where it was. I've seen the foundation stones of where His house was. He had a large house. I've had people say He wasn't rich, but honey, if you bring a ransom of gold and silver and myrrh and frankincense, you start life rich. And if you can go fishing and pay taxes, you don't have a shortage. But whatever He says to you, do what He says. Now, she was probably expecting Him to send them down to the 7-Eleven for a couple of cases of Mogan David, because He had the money to provide it. But He didn't. Water pots were there for ceremonial cleansing of the attendees, because when you came to the wedding, you would stop at one of the water pots filled with 20 to 30 firkins, gallons of water. You would dip your hands in. There was a prayer that you prayed, and you allowed the water to run down your hands and drip off your elbows to show that you were ceremonially clean. It was a part of every festive occasion, every feast, every meal. But I want you to stop and look. When we take communion, we have these little cups. And people think that when He turned the water to wine, everybody got a little sip. But you must stop and look at the magnitude of this miracle. There were six water pots with 20 to 30 gallons of water in each. That meant 120 to 180 gallons of wine. Now stop for a second. When was the last party you went to that had 180 gallons of wine? 99 bottles of beer on the wall, 99 bottles of beer. Take one down and pass around. 98 bottles of beer. Well, 128 gallons of wine on the wall. 128 gallons of wine. Even if there was 100 people there, that's still over a gallon apiece. At 200 people, that's almost a gallon apiece. He says to the servants, fill the pots to the brim. What is their spiritual authority for ruling over creation? Genesis 1, 26 to 28. Rule over it and have dominion over creation. Natural authority, Ecclesiastes 8, 4. Also, the Word of God says, where the word of a king is, there is power. And Revelation 1, 6 says, you are kings and priests unto God, so you have this kind of power resident in you if you're born again. Then he says to the servants, draw out some of that water and give it to the head waiter, the wine steward. The servants are put in a sticky place because I go to the wine steward and hand him a cup of dirty water where everybody's washed their hands. He is not going to go, wow, you guys are really peachy keen. These servants are liable to be throttled. But they take a cup of what was the dirty wash water and they carry it to the wine steward. This is some good stuff, finally. The proof of the wine is in the tasting. And the steward's response is, this is the best stuff we've had all week. This is some good hooch. Why? Because our master does all things well. So whether he's fixing your body, your finances, your marriage, or your dirty water. The wine steward sends for the groom and says, you've been holding out the good stuff. Days of drinking and celebrating are now topped off with more and better wine than we've had before. Pièce de la résistance. Then verse 11 says to you, this was the beginning of his ministry, not miracles, but signs. Now this year I've told you, Brother James, miracles, signs, wonders. But a lot of people go, miracles, signs, wonders, they're all the same. But I want you to understand today, so that as you review the miracles, signs, and wonders, you're not confused by what's going on, by what's taking place. Miracles, signs, and wonders are not the same. A miracle is normally presented with the word dunamis. Well, Pastor, wait a minute. Isn't that the word that's used in Acts 1:8 where we go to Jerusalem and tarry till we be endued with dunamis? Yes, and a lot of people have destroyed the effect, Brother Scott, because they go around and tell you, dunamis means dynamite. No. Dunamis was dunamis for 1,800 years before dynamite came on the scene. Dynamite derived its name from dunamis. Dunamis did not derive its name from dynamite. So it's not about going places and exploding. Dunamis lets you know its source is supernatural power, inherent ability, works of a supernatural origin and character, such as could not be produced by natural agents or means. So every time in the Bible dunamis was used, it is translated as miracles. However, the King James many times translated the word Simeon, which means signs. It translated that word as miracles also. But it's not. Jesus turning the water into wine was not a miracle. It was a sign. These signs shall follow them that believe. Pastor, what's the difference in our understanding? A miracle is something where God's power is revealed for the benefit of the recipient. A miracle is where God's supernatural power is revealed for the benefit of the recipient. A sign confirms a person or thing is of God. This was a sign because it confirmed to the disciples, as it says in verse 11, this was the beginning of the signs. It confirmed to them that he was who he said he was. The word wonder comes from two different words, teres and thambosis. And it means something strange, causing the beholder to marvel. A sign appeals to the understanding. A wonder appeals to the imagination. The shepherds were filled with wonder because they had never seen the skies open up and an angel come out and talk to them. So miracles, dunamis. Signs, Simeon, S-E-M-E-I-O-N. A mark, an indication, a token is used of that which distinguishes a person or thing from others. When you're doing the word, these signs will follow the word that separate you and distinguish you from the common normal. A wonder. It is T-E-R-A-S or T-H-A-M-B-O-S. It appeals to the imagination, causing you to be stumped by what's going on and want to know more. You might say a wonder is a whet to the appetite. I got to know more. I've got to go see why this is happening. It was a wonder when the bush caught on fire and Moses said, I got to go check this out. It appealed to his imagination. This ain't normal. This ain't the way things happen. To the shepherds, the sky just lit up. There's a choir of angels singing. There's an angel talking to us. I got to figure this out. There's a star in the sky. There's never been a star in the sky like that. We got to follow that star and see what's going on. So miracles, signs, and wonders, you can recognize it easily. Was this God benefiting the recipient? Then it's a miracle. Rise, take up your bed, and walk. But was it turning water into wine? And everybody went, whoa. Ain't normal for people to turn water into wine. This is a sign that this person is special. A wonder. It has never been known to man that it occurred like this. Now we must look into this matter. This year, as miracles and signs and wonders occur, I want you to know the difference. They're not all three the same word and they can be juxtapositioned. God is revealing his working in one or the other or the other. So a miracle reveals God's power for good to the benefit of a recipient. A sign confirms a person or thing is of God because they couldn't do this if it wasn't for God. A wonder causes a person to question their view and opinion of what really is. The soldiers looked at Jesus and went, "This ain't normal for a man to die like this. We've seen a lot of guys die, but this ain't normal." In this year, you're going to have opportunity to see miracles and signs and wonders. There are three separate manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Though this miracle was classified as a miracle, it was really a sign. When somebody starts turning water into wine, you know they're not normal. When they start healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out the devil. Now I want you to look deeper. Bob, when we start healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out the devil, people are going to know that that's a sign that God is with us. When we began to take a word from God's new covenant, and Bob, we take that word and say, "With his stripes I was healed." It doesn't matter what the doctors say. It doesn't matter what the nurses say. It doesn't matter what my test says. None of that matters, because since God be for me, what can be against me? I have his word. With his stripes I were healed. 2,000 years ago I were healed. Since I were healed, I is healed. Because I is healed, I will not be bound by this infirmity. And then you talk to the infirmity and you say, "Get out of my body." Well, Pastor, what if it doesn't happen immediately? Did we not learn that over a seven-month period, it didn't happen immediately, but it happened? I'm still in the process of possessing various elements of "With his stripes I was healed," because I am the healed of the Lord. And people say, "Well, Pastor, how are you doing?" Question has no significance. It doesn't matter how I'm doing. His word says, "With his stripes I was healed." Now, until you get that adamant, you're going to be sick from time to time. My God supplies all of my need. Well, Pastor, how much have you got in the bank? That has no bearing on it. Pastor, have you got enough to go to lunch? Has no bearing on it. My God supplies all of my need. Therefore, I command every need in my life to bow before God's supply. Amen. Because as long as I'm waiting for his supply to show up, I'm in unbelief. There's people sitting on seats right here. Some of them close enough to you that you could touch them, that have heard the same word you've heard, and they're still waiting to see it. As long as you judge God's word by your experience, you're crazy. You judge your experience by God's word. Oh, you may be present, but you're leaving, because it is written, "My God supplies all my needs." So, Bill, you're leaving. Not, "God, how come you haven't got it paid yet? God, when are you going to get it paid? God, how are you going to get it paid? God, who can I call so they'll pay it?" No. Bills, listen to me. You are paid because it is written, "My God supplies all of my need." Therefore, you're a lie trying to convince me God's word is not true, and I'm not going to pay attention to you. But if I'll pay attention to that bill, God's word will slip away. That's why God said, "I have to pay the more close attention after having made a stand of faith that I let it drift away." No. You can't do this and stand on with his stripes, I was healed. You got to go, it don't matter what the temperature is. It don't matter what's going on. With his stripes, I was healed. The Word of God is true. But understand this. The signs do not come as a trumpet going before you declaring, this is Brother Damon, he is of God. No, Brother Damon has to be one with the Word, and then the signs follow. Last verses of Mark tell you, with signs following the Word. Not them, the Word they were one with. How does Brother Roger get proved to be of God? He stands one with the Word, and then the Holy Spirit comes to confirm that Word with signs following. Now the signs follow the Word because you have to become one with that Word and decree it. So now the Holy Spirit can confirm what you decreed, and that sign proves you're of God. There are little signs. You get born again, and your whole nature changes. Then you begin to press into the Word, and your health changes, your wealth changes, your relationship changes. The world around you becomes different. People see you different just watching you walk down the street. There's a difference in your step. There's a difference in your attitude and the way you approach life and situations. This year, there will be miracles and signs and wonders like the world has never seen. Not just in church services, because God let us know miracles don't have to begin in the prayer line. Miracles don't have to begin at church. Miracles don't have to have anything to do with the spreading of the gospel. They have to do with confirming who is and who is not of God. What is and what is not of God. And some of you could use a miracle in your health, your wealth, your joy, your peace. Some of you have had promises from God, and I want to tell you, those promises will come to pass this year if you'll dust them off and say, I have, not I'm going to get. I have wealth. I have health. I have joy. I have peace because I have His Word on it. The word of a king is with power. Accept it. Now, Father, I lift this congregation before you, and I thank you that you have a chosen people that you're manifesting yourself to, you're manifesting yourself through, and you're manifesting yourself for. Father, I pray that the eyes of every person to the sound of my voice be open to see your will and plan and purpose for their life. For your plan is for good, for victory, for strength, for ability, for empowerment. Father, I thank you. The blessings of the Lord make rich and add no sorrow. Daily you load us with blessings. And Father, you are demonstrating your goodness to this people in ways that at moments like this we have not yet begun to comprehend. But Father, you're opening our eyes and leading us in a plain path that even our enemies behold and know it is the hand of God. Father, we receive your miracles, your signs, and your wonders. And this year we cooperate with your word and your presence so that your power can be made manifest on our behalf and demonstrate to the world our risen Savior. And the people said, if you need prayer in any area, or you desire to have agreement, or someone stand with you as you are making your stand for God, ministers will be available. Come and let them pray with you. Let them speak the word into your life and receive from God, because God has miracles, signs, and wonders for you. You're loved, you're blessed. See you Wednesday, if not before.